Well, hello, everybody. It is a beautiful, beautiful Sunday, and it is a delight to be welcoming you to Adventures in Artslandia. I am sitting here with two young composers, Kevin Tsai and Katie Palka, from the Fear No Music Young Composers Project. And this is an incredible project, if you haven't heard of it. It's led by Jeff Payne, in which young composers ages 10 through 18 experience what many music aficionados simply dream about, a professional performance of their own works. They're also involved in a nine-month process of creating these works and getting feedback from professional musicians throughout. It's just a beautiful program. Fear No Music is going to perform these pieces by the young performers in the Hearing the Future concert in Elliott Chapel at Reed College, 2 p.m. on Sunday, May 7th. So Kevin and Katie are two of these fortunate young artists who are going to be featured. And welcome, and thank you so much for being here.
Thank you for this opportunity.
It's a pleasure.
Thank you.
Yeah. So now you two have been in this program for 9 months, which is going to lead up to your performance here on the 7th. How are you feeling about this final week of the program?
I'm very excited to be in this program and see my works performed, because all this hard work over the 9 months will be shown in one final concert, and that'll be very exciting.
Exciting. Now, have you heard it played with an audience before at all?
Yes.
So how was that?
That was pretty fun, and it's really exciting and a great experience.
Now, have you made any changes as a result of hearing the work?
Yes, definitely.
Yeah? Things you think don't work or do work?
Yeah.
How about you, Katie?
About changes or?
Just listening to the work. What's it like?
Well, like the first time you hear your work performed, it's like just astonishing, and it's very emotional for me. Because real musicians have this kind of, they breathe life into the work in a way that when you see it written down on paper, you don't have that sort of full emotion to how it's presented. So it's always a really emotional process for me whenever I hear it first played.
I would imagine, and I don't know because I'm not a composer, that you hear it in your head a certain way. Was it quite different when you heard it the first time?
Yes, because one of the hardest parts about composing is writing down what you think about your music into the paper so others can replicate what you think about your music. Because if you just miss a tiny bit of the markings, then other people might play a tiny bit differently.
Right, all the markings of intensity and speed and time signature, how you represent your emotion on paper.
Yeah.
That's incredible.
Yeah, I feel like it's about figuring out how exactly to communicate your ideas and your sort of vision for the piece. But when I approach sort of having musicians play it, I try to like not have a super concrete picture in my head of like how it should sound, especially compared to like the software that plays it back, because I know that it's not going to sound like how musicians play it. You know, they're unique people who will bring their own sort of vision to it too, and I think it's important to recognize that it can be a sort of group creative process at the same time.
So both of you are violinists, and do you hear your music in violin, or do you hear it with all the various instruments that you end up using?
Well, I kind of hear it with the instruments I end up using, because it's more real, and like what you listen to in your head is more of like what is going to be presented.
What instruments are you using in your piece?
Piano and violin.
Oh, so it's a duo.
Yes.
Oh, that's wonderful. And how about you, Katie?
I'm using all the instruments. I'm using clarinet, piano, violin, cello, and a variety of percussion.
Mm-hmm.
And that's including things from like vibraphone to like bowed cymbal. And with the piano, I'm also using an effect in one of the sections of my piece where the pianist actually sort of strums and pounds on the strings on the inside of the piano.
You're going a little John Cage.
Yes.
Nice. That sounds really interesting. Now, you've been in this program before, I know. So how have you matured as an artist since your last experience?
Well, my first experience was last year, and I think the biggest thing that I have grown in terms of just sort of thinking about how many different layers of different rhythms and sort of lines and parts that I can have going at once, I last year I also chose to use all the instruments provided, but this year I think I'm focusing a little more on gesture and rhythmic complexity and sort of variety of harmony than I was last year.
Go a little further, if you can, on the word gesture for people who aren't musicians and who might not know what you mean by that.
Oh, yeah. So by gesture, I mean sort of like the shape of the music and like of a phrase, and particularly like a certain like rhythmic motif. Like if I have a bunch of runs of like fast notes leading from one phrase sort of to build up to the next phrase, that sort of run of fast notes throughout all the parts could be called like a gesture.
So tell us a little bit about your piece inspired by a big stump, a 2,000-year-old redwood stump standing where it once grew on the beach in Waldport, Oregon. How'd you find this stump?
Well, I was on a trip, and I was in Waldport, and I came across the stump, and it's actually, like, officially called Big Stump. I didn't want to call my piece that because most people haven't heard of the stump, and it didn't seem like a very sort of original title if you don't know that's the sort of official name of the stump. But I came upon it on this trip, and I was just amazed. It's this huge stump standing there, and when you look up more about it, it's like that's where it grew, and it has been, like, it first sprouted so long ago, and just thinking about how long it stood there and, like, if it could talk, like, all the things that it has seen, it could tell about, it was just sort of like, wow.
And you have several movements, right?
Well, it's all, like, one long piece, but there are sections which somewhat imitate movements, but it's one continuous piece.
Can you describe those various sections?
Yeah, so it starts out with the section titled Through the Ages. So it's sort of like going back in time, sort of imagining traveling from your current mindset back to the time when the stump would have been sprouting.
When would that have been?
Like about 2,000 years ago.
Wow.
Yeah. So just sort of as if you're sort of going back through time to that era. And then the next section is titled Ancient Times. So you're settling into that sort of ancient place, you know, that ancient forest, you know, the sort of coastal fog and all of that. And then in the next section, the seed sprouts. And so we have this tiny redwood seed, and it's sort of sprouting in this forest 2,000 years ago. And it's very sort of youthful then, you know.
What instrumentation do you use to represent the youth?
Well, I use pizzicato, mm-hmm. of the cello and the violin.
And pizzicato again for those
plucked
people,
strings,
right?
Yes.
It's a really light, beautiful, yeah. delicate yeah. dancing kind of feeling.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And I use the clarinet, and I use the vibraphone, mm-hmm. and as the tree sort of grows, I expand and I start using more instruments at a time, mm-hmm. and making the overall spread of pitch range greater and increasing the rhythmic complexity and stuff like that to sort of really grow out the theme.
No pun intended.
Yes.
Oh, that sounds wonderful.
Yeah. And as the piece continues, in the section Maturing Tree, the tree sort of reaches its full potential, and then there's this storm and this earthquake, and this is where I use the effects of the piano mm. and to really create the sort of rumbling sound for the earthquake. And in this section, I really sort of pushed myself to see how sort of intense I could get. Looking back, I think I could be even more intense, and that would be something to explore in a future piece, but mm-hmm. I was sort of seeing how far can I go. Mm-hmm. And so this earthquake section is this sort of very cacophonous kind of feeling.
Chaotic.
Yes.
Mm, that's great.
Yes. And that's where, sort of narratively speaking, I had the tree die. That's not what happened historically, but it was more interesting for the sake of the piece. Mm-hmm. And
kind of going into the future.
Yeah. And So then I sort of follow the tree in it, in the aftermath, you know, just sort of the feeling of the tree's sort of legacy and importance and kind of mourning what the tree was.
Mm, that sounds lovely. Really yeah. Looking forward to hearing it.
Thank you.
I know you recorded yesterday.
Yes.
And Jeff is sending me some recordings that we can use in the podcast, so you'll all be able to listen to these pieces as well and kind of compare with the intention with what you're hearing. It sounds really exciting.
Yeah.
So, Kevin, tell us about your piece. Now, from what I read about your piece, it's got a more kind of a gypsy infusion and something kind of playful, and it's a duet between piano and violin. So talk to me about what that's all about.
Yes, so when I first composed a piece, I really, really liked gypsy music, mm-hmm. and so that really influenced how I composed my piece. And so once I started getting a run going, I realized it was a fast and happy and a quick piece that was really like dance music, fast dance music. And so basically I started to realize this and I kept the beat and I kept it fast paced. And from there, it basically just took off. Yeah, fast paced piece.
So that's a tongue twister.
Yeah.
Now I'm just looking at your physical body and your being here. I would assume that you might also be very fast paced.
Sometimes.
Sometimes?
Yeah.
How does your music reflect you and vice versa? Do you see yourself in your music?
Not really. It was just like, well, kind of actually, because I really, really enjoy gypsy music.
Mm-hmm.
And so this music was also gypsy music and kind of resembled me because most of the time I'm happy.
Oh, that's mm-hmm. great. It's so interesting. The gypsy music tradition is really beautiful.
Yeah.
So now you're a freshman in high school.
Yes.
And you are also
a sophomore.
Yeah. And is your future plan to continue working as a musician / composer, or what are your plans for your future? Do they involve music? Is music just a sidebar? What are your thoughts about that?
Well, currently I really enjoy composing, and I'll continue composing. And I'm also thinking about going to the music field as a job in the future.
Mm-hmm. In what area do you think, or you probably don't know, you're a freshman in high school, for heaven's sake.
Probably the performance and composing categories.
Great. All right. So you're thinking about going to music school, conservatory of some sort?
Yes.
And continuing to play the violin?
Mm-hmm.
Wonderful. How about you, Katie?
I'm definitely planning to go to conservatory for violin performance and composition. Probably some kind of double major, because I really love both of them.
Mm.
I just can't really imagine my life without music.
Mm. I'm curious because I'm an artist as well, and I always feel that the things that I experience in a creative process are so wonderful and things that everybody can learn from. What things have you experienced in your creative process with your various mentors? What are the things that you would share with other students that would help them in their lives as young people?
Well, definitely listen to music, because music is it helps you study. It basically boosts your mood, so it helps you do various tasks, and it also makes you relaxed.
Mm. Oh, so you kind of use it to help you with your overall emotional life.
Yeah.
That's cool. You kind of can feel emotion through it.
Yeah, so if you're in a lot of stress, you can just listen to some happy music, and then your emotions will quickly change.
What type of music do you listen to when you're stressed?
Usually I listen to Tchaikovsky's Violin Concerto, because it's a beautiful piece.
Mm-hmm, and it takes you to a good place.
Yeah.
That's nice. How about you, Katie?
Well, I could never pick one favorite piece, mm-hmm. but I love Tchaikovsky. I love Barber, Shostakovich. I love basically any music you throw at me. I also love film scores like Howard Shore's and John Williams' music.
Oh, I got to hear John Williams conduct at the Hollywood Bowl, and it was wonderful.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, exciting.
Yeah. I guess for me, the biggest thing I learned about just in the process of writing music, it's really important to listen to music, not just because it helps you emotionally, but also it's really instructive in terms of figuring out how to write the kind of music you want to write.
Mm-hmm.
So I would suggest just listen to a lot of music, even if it's not the kind of music you think you want to write, because mm-hmm. you'll learn something from it. It's like you can't write something without reading, so you need to listen to a lot of music to be able to compose.
Mm-hmm. It's the same way for singers, I think. And what type of contemporary music do you like?
What do you mean by contemporary?
Oh, that's a really good point. Okay, do you enjoy pop music?
Oh.
Big band music? Music, you know, 1940 to current time?
I mainly enjoy classical music, but sometimes I also listen to pop music with my friends.
Mm-hmm. Who's your favorite pop artist?
I don't really have a favorite pop artist.
You don't? Oh, how about you, Katie?
I don't think I have a favorite artist. For me, it's more about if I connect to a specific song, mm-hmm. and like the melody or the meaning, mm-hmm. versus like connecting to an artist per se in terms of the whole pop music end of things. But I also really enjoy like modern, more sort of classical type music.
I've been listening lately to a lot of music from the 60s and the 70s, a lot of harmony groups that sing in harmony, the Mamas and the Papas, Simon and Garfunkel, the Beatles, and there's some beautiful poetry in that music. Have you guys listened to any of that?
Yes.
Yeah? That's great. Yeah, like you said, Katie, it's fun to dive into the genres that maybe aren't
your number one,
but that you can learn a lot from them. It's pretty cool. I'm curious, how do you, as young people, handle being the boss? You know? I mean, you both have mentors, adult musicians who are helping you write your pieces and also playing your pieces. How is it to set collaborative boundaries?
Well, sometimes it's hard to recognize yourself as a leader and the person who's supposed to sort of drive the music. So sometimes you have to, like, elaborate on what you want. And so, like, if I am trying to say, like, this part of my music I really like to be, like, super loud, sometimes you have to make sure that you're really saying that and not just saying, I kind of want it loud, but not
gotta
really.
Be.
You gotta be, like, yes, I do want my music loud, and recognize that you are the person leading.
You've gotta have that confidence.
Yes.
So can your violinist play as fast as you want them to for your piece?
Yes.
How about you, Katie?
I guess it's about learning to trust yourself and your vision for the piece and, you know, having the confidence to communicate your ideas clearly, but also at the same time making sure that while you have that confidence, you also respect the fact that these musicians are amazing for wanting to play your piece. And so I guess it's mostly just about communication and first, understanding deeply what you see as your goal for the piece or how it sounds, and then figuring out how to communicate that effectively.
Right. Are you learning those skills? I bet you are in this process.
You Definitely.
Know, I'm sure they encourage you to really express yourself.
Yes.
That's a hard thing for young people. I mean, it's a hard thing for everybody, but to be able to really express yourself authentically in the moment, that's a skill that's going to serve you your whole life long. So what are your other interests that are not music-related? What do you guys like to do in your free time?
I enjoy practicing my violin, and besides music, I like to work with my robotics team and also play tennis.
I remember reading that about you with the robotics team, and immediately I thought, could you ever create some robots who could play music?
Maybe. It's kind of difficult.
I think that would be awesome, a quartet of robots.
Sure.
Could you do that for me?
Maybe.
Maybe next week?
Probably not.
How about you, Katie?
Well, I also really enjoy creative writing, mm-hmm. and specifically poetry at the moment. Mm-hmm. And I also work as a lifeguard, so I really enjoy, like, you know, teaching swim lessons and just, you know, working as a lifeguard is an interesting experience.
That sounds like fun.
Yeah.
It must be neat in your program notes you can put a poem about the stump.
Yeah.
If you're so inclined.
Yeah. Well, it certainly did inform how I wrote about and described the stump, mm-hmm. in my program notes. Although I didn't write it in a poem form, mm-hmm. I certainly sort of thought about how I wanted to describe it, you know, the imagery and sort of descriptive words I chose.
Mm-hmm. So this week at school, Kevin, how are you going to balance rehearsals and all the stuff leading up to the 7th?
Well, every day I try to pack in some time to compose, even though there's a lot of tennis and homework going on. And so basically I'm going to try to compose as much as I can and I'm very excited to listen to the final result.
Who's your favorite tennis player?
It's a difficult question.
Just think on it for a minute.
I enjoy watching Rafael Nadal and Federer play because they were two of my favorite tennis players.
What do you like about their playing?
Well, they're, of course, very skilled, and they are also very highly ranked.
It's interesting because when I watch tennis, and I don't watch it terribly often, the rhythm of it is very strong.
Yes.
And it's interesting.
Yeah.
Do you find it musical?
Sort of, but like, if you really listen to the sound of the ball being hit over and over again, there's sort of a rhythm to it sometimes, but then sometimes it skips a beat.
Mm-hmm.
So it's half musical.
And then the grunts.
Yeah.
You know, you got to employ those in some way in one of your compositions.
Okay.
Well, it's just been a real pleasure talking to both of you, and all best with your event on the 7th. I hope everybody will take a look at the Fear No Music website. You guys can find tickets for the event at www.fearnomusic.org. Tickets are $20 and $10 for students and senior citizens, and they're will also be available at the door. For more information, you can call 503-335-3386 or visit the website, as I said earlier, www.fearnomusic.org. And that is for the Young Composers Project, which will perform at Reed College in the Elliott Chapel at 2 o'clock on Sunday, May 7th. Kevin and Katie, thank you so much again for joining me, and I hope I will see you again soon.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. I'm really looking forward to it.
This is Gypsy Dance by Kevin Tsai. Ballad of the Time Guardian by Katie Palkett.